Hello, my name is Michaela Loughborough, and welcome to the Time to Rise podcast. Each week, Dr. Lough will share a message of courage, drive, and determination that will help you rise during difficult situations in your life. From a former president of the United States to a teenage runway, Dr. Lough's message will bring hope and inspiration to all. Now here's your host for the show, Dr. Lough.
Hello and welcome to the Time to Rise podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lough, and I'm so excited for the guests that we have in store for you for this episode. We're here in the studios, actually in New Jersey. And I have in the studio Mr. Chris Fisher with the Fisher Agency. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Doug?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for being here and for talking with me. And I'm so excited for what we have prepared for our listeners today. But before we get started, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and give some of the listeners a view of who you are?
Yeah, I was born and raised in the Bay Area, small town called Danville. Most people don't know where that is. So I just usually say I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area because everybody knows where that is. I end up, for fun, I'll go skiing or mountain bike riding or you know, any sort of hiking, camping type activity. But other than, you know, I love what I do for work. Yeah. You know, work's not work.
Yeah, well, you know, as you talk about work, you know, you created the Fisher Agency. You're the director of the Fisher Agency. Can you just tell our listeners about how you got started and what the Fisher Agency is?
Yeah, so the Fisher Agency has kind of gone through a couple different metamorphoses. Both my parents were educators, and my dad was an educator and high school tennis coach, and it actually kind of started through them. My dad was coaching a guy by the name of Roger Crawford, who is a motivational speaker.
Okay.
Roger is severely handicapped. Severely handicapped means all four limbs.
Wow.
So he was a thalidomide baby. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No.
Thalidomide was a drug that I guess they, I think in maybe the 50s and 60s it was popular, but it caused birth defects. Wow. So his arms go to about elbow length.
Wow.
He's got one finger on one hand. He's got two on the other.
Wow.
He's got a half foot, and then he's got a prosthetic leg. Wow. So as a kid, Roger is a little bit older than me. I would watch my dad hit balls. He's like, hey, if I can get this kid just to rally, that's a total success. Because he was watching Roger trying to hit against the backboard and was not succeeding. Yeah. And so ended up doing that. Well, Roger got really good. And by the time he was in high school, I think I can't remember exactly, but I think he went 46-6.
Really?
Playing varsity tennis. He walked on to Lowell Marymount University in Southern California and beat a full ride guy to make the team.
Wow.
So when Roger graduated, my dad was always kind of, he was the coach, mentor, second dad, whatever you want to call him. Mm-hmm. When he got done with college, he was like, hey, all I'm doing is teaching tennis. I don't know what I'm going to do. And my dad's like, why don't you come talk to my anatomy physiology class? Mm. And he's like, well, what do you want me to tell him? He's like, just tell him your story.
Yeah.
And so he did that. The kids loved it, right? Because pretty inspirational. But I think that Roger liked it more than, like, he got more out of it than the kids did.
Mm.
And my dad's like, well, after lunch, you can come talk to the biology kids. You know, because my dad taught anatomy, physiology, and biology. So he did that. Stepmom was a elementary school teacher. So Roger would go, like, he was just doing this for free. He would go over there and you know, do show and tell, like, take off his prosthetic leg. Tell stories about growing up because his dad basically raised him like a normal kid. He had to mow the lawn. He had to do chores. I mean, there weren't any sort of like thing, like they didn't have ramps. They didn't have anything that was going to like for somebody who was disabled. He's like, you're a normal kid. Like we're raising you like a normal kid. And so, you know, after all that, my stepmom is having him do stuff. He's going to schools in the local area. My stepmom's calling schools and her friends who are teachers, and he's going in and, you know, speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the schools he went to more than once ended up going, hey, we really appreciate your time, and gave him a check for $500.
Right on.
And he's like, I can get paid to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
So exactly. So that was, that's kind of how that's that piece, mm-hmm. how that happened. And so now he's getting paid and he's going and doing this stuff. Well, eventually my stepmom has to quit her job. Wow. Teaching because he's so busy. So she manages him.
Right.
So she's just managing Roger. He's going all over the place, speaking at high schools, middle schools, you know, nonprofits, whatever. And then so he ends up getting married and his wife takes over. Well, there was about, I don't know, 18 other speakers in this world that were like, came to my stepmom and would say, we want you to do for us what you did for Roger.
Wow.
So that's when our first thing, and I was at this point in time, I'm in high school.
Okay.
I'm a high school. I want nothing to do with this.
Really?
Oh, we have got
motivational. I can't wait to hear how you made that.
We got motivational speakers coming in and out of our house. Everybody's trying to fire me up and I'm just shaking my head at them. Like, no. So, but yeah, so he ends up getting married. His wife, you mm-hmm. know, manages him. All these other speakers come in now, and that becomes the American Youth Speakers. Mm-hmm. So I want to say that they did that for probably, I don't know, they probably did that for like 5 years.
Okay.
Right? But then they got maybe a little bit more. Then they got approached by Jostens, the cap gown ring yes. company. And we subcontracted and ran that for them for probably almost 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's how that started. And then, like, my brothers and sisters worked in it. I never really did. I never worked in the family business. I was a pretty motivated kid when it came to athletics. Yes. So I'm like, I don't need to do this.
Yeah.
And I got out of college, got my first job. I was in sales, was working for this transportation company, knew I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I gotta spend my time. I gotta suck it up. So I spent my 2 years there, took the LSATs, was going to go to law school. So, but in the meanwhile of like studying for my LSATs and applying to schools, I quit my job and I had money saved up and my folks are like, well, come work for us. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I saved up some money.
Yeah.
And then eventually it got to a point where I'm like, all right, going out money, right? It's like, I can, and so I basically was in the mailroom. I was doing postcard mailings yes. and all this other kind of stuff. And so, and I was fine with that because everybody left me alone. I just did the deal. And it got to a point where they started having me answer the phone. And I had met these speakers a gazillion times. They had came in and out. And I'm starting to talk to educators. And I'm starting to do, and so, and I decided not to go away to law school. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I didn't get into the law school I wanted. And I started to think about, I'm like, do I really want to do this? Mm-hmm. And so I got a little bit more involved in that, in the quote unquote family business. And I'm talking to these educators and I'm talking to them about the speakers and I'm seeing the difference that some of these kids are having because I'm going to events and I'm like, oh, I kind of like this. Mm-hmm. Like this is kind of in my wheelhouse. Wow. And so it took a while for that to happen. But then in the meantime, it's like, I'm helping the business grow. Oh, like yeah. I'm having immediate impact, right? I'm feeling like, I'm like, oh, and this is all like internet starting to go off now.
Yeah.
I'm like, we got to get a website. And it was like, I kind of had to fight them on that. They're like, no, no, no. And I'm like, no, this is the way. We need to get a website.
Wow.
So we had a website really early on. Eventually, my dad retired from teaching, my stepmom wanted to retire, but I had to buy him out. I basically was like, all right. So we came up, you know, they came up with a number and we made it work. And because I've been doing this for 25 years now.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of the story on that. And we were still, we saw the subcontracting piece with Jostens, but eventually that ended up, you know, that contract came to an end.
Right.
And so then it was like, I'm like, all right, like, what am I going to do now? And so that's when I took that piece and that became the Fisher Agency to where we are now.
How was that for you? Like making that declarative decision to say, I'm going to take it. I'm going to go from here with the Fisher Agency. Like,
it was
difficult or yeah, were you like, no, yeah. you know, I mean, see the roadmap.
I knew the pieces that I needed. I knew what to do.
Right.
So it wasn't, it wasn't like I had this fear of like, hey, I can't do this. Mm. I knew I could do it.
That's right.
But I didn't know, but it was like, all right, you know, because before we had the relationship with Justin's, and I'm like, well, how's that piece going to work? Because that was like, that gave us big exposure, right? That made us national. And I was like, are we going to not be national anymore? Right. So that's kind of what I fought for. And, you know, knock on wood, like we were still able to kind of have that national presence, and that piece worked out. The nuts and bolts were still all the same. Like the nuts and bolts didn't change really, but it was more of, I think it was more of the perception piece, right?
Yes.
It's like, whoa, well, are you going to have the same speakers? Yeah. They're all the same speaker. Like we're still going to have good high quality speakers that are going to go do events. We're not losing anybody. And so it was, yeah. I wasn't fearful of like that, like I said, like the nuts and bolts of it all, but I was more of like, hey, is our exposure going to drop? Are we not going to be like a national business? Are we just going to be in California and that's going to be it?
Yeah.
So that was probably more in the back of my head where I'm like, hey, how is this going to work?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we met like over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was through a mutual friend, and I was excited to be able to join the Fisher Agency as one of your speakers and presenters. And I just thought it was a very class act, and you have some great speakers. And, you know, besides me, talk about some of the great speakers that you have that you really have, you know, you really can say, you know, as an organization, we're really proud of these speakers that you have at the Fisher Agency.
Well, so, I mean, you know, as far as in the speaking industry as a whole, I feel like speakers who can speak to students, they like the best speakers out there.
Yes.
Because to hold the attention of a student.
Yes.
And I always paint the worst case scenario when a new speaker approaches me who hasn't been speaking very long. I'm like, all right, it's Friday before vacation. You're in a gymnasium with 1,500 kids. And it's before summer break. So it's hot out and the AC doesn't work. Can you hold those kids?
Ooh.
And some people look at me and like, that's not a thing. And I'm like, no, that absolutely is a thing. And it's happened,
yeah.
You know? So, so it's, you know, the speakers that we've got, you know, they're all great. They all do a fantastic job. And the ones that their hearts are in the right spot, as far as like, they want to make a difference in young people's lives. Those are the ones that shine, you know?
You know, that's great. That leads us into this other question that I have for you is like, what advice would you give speakers looking to make an impact or to get involved in the industry?
I would say first and foremost, kind of one of the things that I always kind of preach is tell your story.
Mm.
Like tell your own story.
Yes.
Because nobody can take your story. It's right. Yours. There's a lot of times where I hear speakers doing things where it might be, it's like a camp activity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're doing this, whatever this like generalized leadership camp activity is. And if you end up going to an event and then there's another speaker doing it, you're like, well, they took my stuff. That's not your stuff.
That's right.
Like tell your story, make your story impactful and meaningful. Cause here's the thing. Everybody's got a story,
right?
Whether you're a speaker or not, everybody's got a story. There's only certain people who can tell their story. And if you're a speaker, tell your story and make it applicable to, you know, whatever leadership values or whatever the topic is, use your story to, you know, do that.
Yeah. I mean, stories matter and definitely can inspire people.
Absolutely.
And I agree with you when you said that each and everyone is unique in our own story. So it's not like, you know, it's a part of you being authentic and your true self.
Absolutely. Well, that's the other thing too. It's if you're not authentic, like kids know, like students know, and even adults know, they just might not care. Right. If you're not when you're a truly authentic, you know, those are the speakers that are going to resonate. Those are the speakers that are going to, you know, hit home runs because, you know, they're talking from their heart,
yeah,
and they're talking from their own experience, which, you know, they're like, oh, you know, that was so believable. Well, it was believable because that's what it was, you know. It's not a song and dance.
How has, you know, kind of this post-COVID era kind of changed or redefined the work you do?
Well, I mean, clearly during COVID, that was interesting, right? You know,
Talk
that
about that.
a lot of you know, a lot of like kind of, you know, pivoting and the whole virtual stuff. I was pretty like, I had a speaker who was already doing virtual before COVID hit. So it was like, all right, this is what we got to do. I got to get the rest of the speakers. And some speakers didn't want to do it. And some speakers didn't do it and they waited, which is fine if you can make that happen. But, you know, 3 years is a long time, you know? So, but as far as like kind of post-COVID, I think that like, you know, with last year was kind of like, kind of the first coming out, like, because 2022 was still kind of, you know, in that COVID, you know, we're still trying to figure stuff out. Some schools or organizations are like, yeah, we still haven't had a live speaker yet. You know, so it was more, 2023 was kind of more of that. And so there was definitely a bounce back, which was great. And now with 2024 coming, I feel like we're, it feels like we're getting back to quote unquote normal. You know, whatever normal is. You know, so yeah, so is it different? Yeah, I guess it's different. I don't know. I mean, I feel like the more time that goes on, the more it's going to get back to kind of how it was. But what it has done is now we have this virtual option, right? It's like, hey, would you mind like jumping in virtually for a class meeting or for this training workshop? Would you mind leading it? It's like it opens up kind of another avenue for speakers to kind of make an impact, which is great. That part's great.
So as you look back at the 20 plus years of the Fisher Agency, and this might be a hard question for you, but what is the one thing that you're most proud of? And then what was one difficult situation with the company? And how did you overcome that?
Okay.
Two different questions.
I would say, I think kind of what I'm most proud of is it's a family business, you know, second generation. We're still going strong. And we're still making a big impact. And that's, for me, that's kind of that's what keeps me going is I have a corporate side as well. But this is the side that lights my fire. This is where I'm passionate about. So it's like I love coming to conferences and seeing the impact, and I love, you know, seeing the speakers, you know, do their thing. They're fired up, and then the audience is fired up, and it's and then you hear the stuff afterwards. You know, you hear the I get an email or I get a phone call, and they and I hear the stories of the impact, and it's like that's you know, that's kind of, I don't want to say that's what I do it for, but that's what keeps me going.
Good.
And I would say, I mean, for as long as I've been doing this, my challenge was COVID, you know?
Yes.
Because I mean, if we go back, we're talking end like, well, kind of unofficially end of February, but March, right? We're looking, what, that first week in March.
Yes.
So living in the Bay Area, we were the first ones to go quarantine. Seven counties in the Bay Area, we're the first ones out of the whole country. So, you know, that aspect of it. And so it was March. It was like, okay, in my head, I'm thinking, all right, we're good. End of the school year comes, summer comes, we're going back. At being a school year, we're all back. And it didn't happen. Like, we didn't go back. And I'm like, okay. So maybe like, you know, after the holidays, you know, and I ke and it kind of just kept going. And if I would have, looking back on it now, I pr you know, obviously we were doing the virtual stuff, and the virtual stuff was kind of keeping the lights on, so to speak, but it wasn't totally keeping the lights on. You know, it's like, you know, you had all the PPP money and stuff like that. I didn't get a whole lot of that, but I did do like, I did the SBA thing. I owe the SBA money. So it's like, it's still living with me. I got to get, and I'm going to get them paid up, and it's working, but it's going to take a little while. And so that part was kind of a challenge for me because I'm like, gosh, do I keep doing this? Like, is it time for a change? And I had that thought, but I'm like, I love what I do so much that I wasn't prepared to like, just like shelve it. I wasn't prepared to walk away from it. And I'm like, nah, let me see, you know, I got some runway. Let me see if I can make this work.
Wow. I mean, I think that's great, especially having the courage during that time with COVID. And, you know, your main business was having people go to schools and doing all these all school assemblies and
conferences
was shut down. But, you know, it was so great. And I was working with you then as well. Yeah. You had asked me if I had any remote work. Yeah. If I could do anything remotely, was that you were able to pivot and pivot successfully. And the speakers stayed with you and you got through it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And here we are, today, like we're in New Jersey. Do you want to talk about what we're doing here and, you know, how many speakers you've brought out and the work you're doing here?
Yeah. So we work with the New Jersey Elks, their state association here. And they put on a youth conference for all the students throughout New Jersey. I think they have 400 or 400 and change. Mm-hmm. Before COVID, I think they were getting more of like 650. So they're building back up. But yes. 400 and change is still, that's really good.
Yep.
We have 6 or 7 speakers here doing it. They put on a great event. And
you were saying like, this is one of my favorite years.
This kicks off my year. This is, you know. January, I don't want to say January is a slow month, but I don't really have any conferences in January, but February kind of kicks that off and there's going to be conferences from now until through the summer. So
that's great. That's great. And I'm excited to tomorrow I get to headline and share my message of hope and inspiration and then do a couple workshops. So I'm excited to spend some time here and be with you as well. You know, as we're thinking about wrapping up this podcast, any messages that you'd have or anything you want to share to those who they want to speak but they haven't started yet? Like how would one get started in your opinion? We're talking for people who've never been on the stage before.
Yeah, no, and it's funny. I get that question a lot, which you wouldn't think people would ask that question, but they do. And I always say, or they're like, how do you find your speakers, right?
Right, right, right.
And here's the thing. All speakers come from all walks of life. Like, it could be something bad that happened to them, right? It could be that they grew up in leadership roles throughout their life. Like, they were in student council, and then they got into SGA in college. And it's just kind of their thing, right? So it's kind of all walks of life. But when it comes to people who want to be speakers, I always say you've got to, first and foremost, you got to get out and speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, I'm not saying it like, hey, you're going to go out, you're getting bookings and you're getting paid. It's like, no, you've got to either go into churches, into youth groups, into schools and offer your services for free.
Yeah.
Because one of my big things that I have personally, it's like, you can't get paid to practice.
Come on, say that again.
You know what
say
I mean? That again, you can't get paid to practice.
Woo!
Because it's just not fair, right? It's like, wait a minute, you're still working on your craft, but yet you want to collect a check from a school.
Yeah.
And if you don't do well, they're not going to be happy about it. They're not going to promote you. You need your cheerleaders, right? If you're a speaker and you go into an organization, you want to crush it.
Yeah.
And they're going to tell all their friends.
That's right.
And so. And then I always suggest to, if you know, it's like, well, what else can I do? And I always tell them, I'm like, get involved with Toastmasters. And I'm not saying do the national one. I'm not saying pay the big dues. Get involved in your local Toastmasters.
I agree with that.
Because it's, you're going to have seasoned speakers in Toastmasters.
Right.
You're going to have new people. You're going to be up on stage giving your talk, and they're going to tear it up. There's nothing wrong with that because they're going to help you get better. And so the whole idea is you got to work on your craft, because if you're in your room by yourself trying to, like, you can write all the stuff down that you want and you can stand in front of the mirror all you want, but until you get up on stage and actually deliver that message, you don't know what you have. So it's like, get involved in Toastmasters, do freebies, like do the free ones work on your stuff.
Yeah, and as you're doing, I mean, I love about Toastmasters. I did the same thing.
Yeah,
coming right out of college, I did my internships at like John Hancock Insurance Company.
Yep,
and they had a Toastmaster group, and I joined because I wanted to get some tricks and trades of speaking, but I also wanted to be critiqued in an environment that was supportive.
Right.
And Toastmasters, that's totally Toastmasters.
Yeah. So that's what I always suggest when people are trying to get into speaking, or even if they're newer speakers and I see their stuff and I'm like, you're not quite ready. Like you're not, I don't want to, if I put you out there, that might be it. Like you might be done. So, well, no, because yeah. I mean, if you do bad,
right.
If you fail on paid engagements a few times,
you're done.
Like, it's, yeah.
I agree.
So it's like, get it worked out. Like, speak for free a lot. Right.
And one other piece that I'd like to throw in there is, as folks are speaking for free, if you have an opportunity to record it.
Yep.
Where you can go back Absolutely. And watch it yourself and critique yourself. But yep. also, now you're starting to have footage. Yep. Because a lot of people say, hey, can you send me a, can I see you speaking?
Yep.
Do you have a clip? Do you have a, so recording it. And then also, after you're done speaking for free and you've recorded it, asking the people that invited you for a testimonial yep. or for an endorsement, if you could use their name as an endorsement.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just, you know, one more piece on top of that is go find yourself a mentor.
Yes.
Like, go find another speaker. Yeah. There's not a speaker that I've met that wouldn't be like, they wouldn't help somebody out. Like, yeah. find a mentor.
That's like, a great,
you know what I mean?
Point. Absolutely. That's a great point. So how can folks get a hold of you if they want to connect with you or learn more about your speakers?
Well, they definitely hit me up on Instagram. It's Fisher Agency. I think it's actually The Fisher Agency is what I am on Instagram. You know, you can connect through our website as well as our email address and all that kind of stuff. And that's tfaspeakers.com.
All right. All right. Well, you know what? I want to thank you, Chris, for coming in and talking with me on the Time to Rise podcast. I think it's so phenomenal, the work that you've been doing and kind of like keeping the generation, keeping it in the family with the work that you're doing. I'm proud to be a part of the Fisher Agency. And for all those speakers out there, you know, it's definitely possible. But some of the things that Chris mentioned today is I hope you really take to heart and think about, you know, speaking for free, being able to record it, getting folks to endorse you, and finding a mentor. These things matter and will definitely help you help propel your speaking industry. So, Chris, I got to say, man, I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, man.
And I appreciate all that you do. And just, again, give those handles again for Instagram and your website.
Okay, so the Instagram is The Fisher Agency, and the website is tfaspeakers.com.
So you heard it there from my man, Chris Fisher, with the director of The Fisher Agency. Thanks so much. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And remember, continue to rise.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Time to Rise podcast. Make sure to visit our website, dougluff.com, where you can subscribe to our monthly newsletter or connect with Dr. Luff directly by email at drluff@dougluff.com. If you found value in the show, please provide us with a positive rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or simply invite your friends and family to join us for the next episode. Lastly, we would like to thank Higher Level Leadership, LLC. A speaking consulting and coaching company and individual supporters for sponsoring this podcast. Simply click the support button on the podcast homepage to become a supporter, and Dr. Luff will send you a free copy of his autobiography, Watch Me Rise. Again, thank you for joining us and continue to rise.